Thank you. Miss Rebecca was our lead worship leader today. Amen. What a great young lady. And she is single. If you know of a godly Christian young man, we'll have to go through the vetting process. Right, Wesley? Deep, deep vetting process. But she is an amazing. Thank you, Matt, and all the other team, Peggy and all, and Amanda. And who is the old guy? Great, great, great time today. Thank you, choir and orchestra. Thank you for leading us so much. Wonderful worship here at Roswell Street. If you brought your Bible, hope you did. You need to keep it open because we're going to look at several verses of Scripture. I'm entitling this new series. It's only two parts. Only two-part series called The Invisible War. Today I want to talk to you about being faithful in a faithless world. And then next week is our graduation Sunday. It's our senior graduation recognition. And I've already written the message for next week. It's called New Beginnings. And we're going to look at new beginnings out of this entitlement of being this invisible war that we have. And I want to challenge our graduates as well as us as a church as well. I don't want to just that makes you single that out. Luke's Gospel, chapter 18, verse 8, says these words, Jesus saying, "When I, the Son of Man, return, how many will I find on earth who have faith?" A faithless world tries to keep us from living by faith. A faithless world tries to keep us, puts roadblocks up for us living by faith. God will continue to test our faith, so our faith will continue to grow. Now, we go through these testing periods, and that's part of growing in the grace and knowledge of Christ, that God tests our faith so that we might grow in His grace and in His knowledge. Let's pray. Father God, let the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. Father, we thank you for this moment. We thank you for this second, this in this moment in time right now here in this room. Father, I pray that you speak precisely to us today. Father, I pray that we walk away from this place as I pray every week different than when we came. Father, thank you for the faithful stewards in this congregation all these many years. Father, thank you for Roswell Street and the testimony that it has. And Father, I thank you the great days are ahead, and we give you all the praise and all the glory and all the honor. Father, I pray that we focus our attention on how faithful we're going to be to do kingdom work here and beyond. And Father, we thank you so much for your word. It never returns void. Do your work in this place, and we give you the glory, and we give you the praise, and we give you the honor. In Jesus' name we pray, and the church said, amen. Just a bit of introduction. God is looking for faithful people to bless. God wants to bless us. He's looking for faithful people to bless. He's physically and visibly and actively looking, taking the initiative, looking for faithful people that he can constantly bless. God is looking for people that he can bless. And when he looks for his people, he's looking for people that have been faithful in their journey. 2 Chronicles chapter 16 verse 9 says, "For the eyes of the Lord search back and forth across the whole earth, looking for people whose hearts are perfectly towards him, so that he can show great power in helping them." That's one of my favorite verses of Scripture, because he's looking to and fro, so to speak. He's looking around the world so that he can find us to be faithful and to bless us. One of the greatest verses in the word of God is that one I just read. He wants to not only to just burn us out, he wants to wear us out. He wants to wear us out as we search and find his divine will for our life. God wants to bless our kind of socks off if we're blessable. If we decide to be blessable, he will bless your socks off. So God is looking for faithful people to bless. Secondly, faithful people are honestly hard to find. They truly are hard to find. They're actually quite rare in this world. People who trust God with all their heart, with all their soul, with all their mind, with all their strength, actually are quite rare. Sometimes they bless and they are faithful in certain areas, but not in all three of those. Bless the Lord that we are faithful in our heart, our soul, our mind, and our strength. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 6 says, a man proclaims his own loyalty or faith, but who can find a trustworthy man? A lot of people talk the talk, but some of them don't walk the walk. They trust God for salvation, but they don't live out their faith in reality. Psalms 53, verse 2 and 3 says these words, God looks down from heaven on the children of man and to see if there are any who understand, who seek after God. They have fallen away. Together they have become corrupt. There is none who does good, not even one. There's none that are righteous, not even one, the Bible says. Faithful people are truly hard to find. And thirdly, faithfulness is the key to blessings or to key to victory. The key to victory over all of life's problems is turning our eyes towards Jesus and trusting Him by faith and living by faith each and every day. 1 John chapter 5, verse 4 and 5 says these words, every child of God can defeat the world. And if it's our faith that gives us this victory, no one can defect the world without having faith in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. There is a unique specialness about someone that is totally surrendered to the Lordship of Jesus. This is how we're going to overcome our problems. Not by intelligence, not by money, not by creativity. We are going to overcome life's difficulties by surrendering to the Lordship of Christ. Proverbs chapter 28, verse 20 says, a faithful person will be richly blessed, but one eager to get rich will not go unpunished. A faithful person is richly blessed. A faithful person is richly blessed. As your pastor right now, my desire is that each and every one of us, each and every one of us, be completely blessed. There's not one time that I've ever prayed, well, Lord, don't bless that person. Don't bless that life group leader. Don't bless that choir member. I say, Lord, bless every one of us. And the only way that we are going to be truly blessed of God is that when we surrender totally to His Lordship. Say, God, I want you to have complete control. I want us not to just sing about living hope. I want us to live out our hope in our faithfulness in this world. There is a faithless-based world out there trying to destroy the New Testament church. And we need to stand firm and say, I am faithful. I am following Jesus until the end. But in order to have that blessing that God wants to give us, we have to learn how to be faithful. You're going to have to learn even how to be faithful. And so I'm going to give you a test today. I've got six statements that are six tests on how to be faithful in a faithless world. The first one is this. God uses the little things to test your integrity. He uses the small things to test them. He uses the small things, not the creative things. A creative leader is so surrendered to the Lordship of Jesus that they know that God is going to test the little bitty things in life. The big crises of life reveal the leadership, but leadership is not built on big things. Leadership is built on the small things that we do. The things that nobody gets recognition for. It's built on the small things of life. And in the small, unseen, unspectacular, immoral choices that we make. A faithful person requires integrity. They must have integrity. Luke chapter 16, verse 10 says, whoever is faithful in very little is also faithful in much. Whoever is unrighteous in very little is also unrighteous in much. Let me just see if I can bring this into a reality today. Notice some of the politicians in our world today. Not all of them are bad. Some of them are. We got some church members that are bad across the nation, right? So we got some insurance people that are not so good. We've got some lawyers that are not so good. We've got some preachers that are not so good, right? But let's just to pick on the politicians today, because we always enjoy talking about them, right? Sometimes a politician has a scandal in its life, in his life, or her life. They have a scandal, and the defenders of that person come out of the woodwork and say, it really shouldn't matter what's in a guy's or a gal's private life on how they operate. Have you heard that one? We've heard that. We've heard that on news media reels. We've heard that on the most liberal and the most conservative news reel. It really shouldn't matter what is in that person's life, private life. It's all about his public life. Everything that that person does as a leader, everything affects him. Because if a man lies about his wife, let's just use the moral failure. If he lies about his wife, he's going to lie about something else. Can I get amen to that? It's going to happen. Public blessing as a leader, my public blessing as a leader, comes because of the private integrity that no one else sees. Let that sink in just a minute. Maybe somewhere along the way we may do a self-evaluation on our private life. God blesses us in our integrity of our lives. Notice what it says in Luke chapter 16, verse 12. And if you have not been faithful with what belongs to someone else, who will give you what is your own? We see that all the time in public figures, right? They take tax dollars and they exploit them for their own personal gain. We see that happening all the time. It doesn't have to have an agency to unpack that. We see it happening all the time. Oh, my dear friends, if we're not faithful with what doesn't belong to us, someone else's stuff, we will not be faithful in the things that he gives us. He is talking about a concept of apprenticeship here in that verse of scripture. There, back in the day, you couldn't get a position in a job without going through an apprenticeship. You had to learn how to do that. If you wanted to open up a shoe shop to work on shoes, you had to go through a cobbler to be taught how to do that and walk alongside that person. If you wanted to be whatever that might be, a mechanic, then you had to walk alongside that person to that apprenticeship. The problem is that we have so many people out there going out there, starting their own thing, doing their own thing without ever having gone through an apprenticeship whatsoever. As a pastor, I have gone through an apprenticeship. You say, well, wait a minute, Dan, you've been in ministry for a while. I go all the way back. I was a youth pastor at being trained and coached by a senior pastor, and I got to where I'm at in my ministry before the Lord ever gave me my own platform. I worked through an apprenticeship. There is something to be said about mentoring. There's something to be said about apprenticeship. And I'm, dear friends, I'm telling you right now, I didn't start preaching at Roswell Street Baptist Church. I started preaching my first sermon I ever preached publicly was a church of 18 in Sunday school. 18. I was scared to death. I wrote a 45-minute sermon. 7.5 minutes, I went into the invitation. You think I talk fast now? You should have been back there. There wasn't a dry thread on my body. I'm telling you what, every stretch of clothing I had was soaking wet. I was so nervous, but I'm going to tell you, I walked through that ministry time. I needed that. And I went back to my coach during that time, and he said, well, son, maybe you want to slow down just a little bit in your delivery. Maybe you should. You see, folks, we need to go through an apprenticeship. I want to tell you, my dear friends, God uses the little things to test our integrity. Secondly, God uses my talents to test my unselfishness. God uses my talents to test my unselfishness. We have to decide in life who or what we're going to live for. We got to decide what we're going to live for. We got to choose who we're going to live for. Either you're going to live for A, for yourself, self-centered life, it's all about me. Or B, I'm going to live for God. I'm going to live for something that's better and greater and more impactful than I could ever make. Dear friends, let me tell you something. I really highly recommend that you start living for Christ. Start living for Christ. Faithful people don't live for themselves. Serve God by serving others is one of my bylines in my life. I want to serve God by serving others. And if somebody asked me, how successful are you in ministry? I don't know. I don't care. I just want to serve God by serving others, and I'll stand before the Lord, and He will declare whether it was successful or not. I'm not looking for the next resume builder. I'm not building a resume. I think I've got a fairly decent one thus far, I pray. But it's all about one taking one bad step, one false step in my integrity to destroy every bit of that. Dear friends, let me tell you something. God wants us to be successful. God wants us to be blessed. God uses the talents that we have. They are not a talents of being selfish. We must give it away. Those things that God gives us are not for our benefit. They are given to us as stewardship, for God is watching to see if we are using what He has given to us and how we are using it effectively. Have you ever thought about why God doesn't just create us and save us and take us to heaven? No, He gives us gifts and talents for us to be used for kingdom work. Oh, my dear friends, we're not using those benefits and those talents for ourselves. It is for someone else. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10 says, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others, and faithful stewards of God's grace is in its various forms. I cannot do certain things in ministry. I know that many of y'all are going to be shocked about that. There's certain things that I'm just not good at. I'm just not. And I realize that. But there's certain things that I'm fairly decent at. I try to be a better communicator. I try to work at that. I study and I pray and I ask God to give me delivery skills. And those things I think I'm fairly decent at. But there's some things that I'm just not good at. You do not want me to rebuild your engine in your car. I'm just not good at that. I have friends that are excellent at that. I have a friend that literally is amazing at that. I just can't do that. That's not who I am. I don't know that many people can do that. They have to have all these computers and such to do that now. But there's certain things that some of us do. But we got to find those gifts that we're good at and use them for the glory of God. Every person should use whatever gift they have received to serve others as faithful stewards. If I use my talents and my influence wisely, then God will increase my talents and my influence greatly. The more that I use my talents, the better I get at what God has blessed me with. I want to share with you, gathering here close, don't miss this. Pastoring is from the heart. Preaching is a learned art. Pastoring is the call in their person's life. That's the shepherd's heart. They're called to pastor. They have a shepherding heart. They a love for these. But their preaching is a learned art. It is a communication skill that we learn how to do. You say, well, man, that's a good sermon. Well, that blesses my heart. But was it effective? Did it move our hearts? Preaching and pastoring is from the heart, but preaching is a learned art. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2 says, now it's required that those who have been given a trust must prove faithful. There are two great themes in the scriptures that I think resonate throughout the entire congregation. The first one is this, salvation. Salvation, and the other is stewardship. Salvation is when I have trusted Christ as my personal Savior and Lord for forgiveness of all of my sins. Stewardship is what I'm doing with what He has blessed me with. Some of us in this room possibly need to commit their lives to their stewardship, commit their stewardship life unto the Lord. So God uses the little things to test our integrity. God uses my talents to test my unselfishness. Thirdly, God uses tough times to teach me persistence. He uses tough times to teach me persistence. The difference between faithful people and unfaithful people is unfaithful people give up at the first sign of difficulty. They throw the chips in. They throw the towel in, so to speak. Faithful people keep on keeping on. Faithful people are determined. Faithful people are diligent. They are persistent in their walk with God. I want to give you a verse of scripture, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16 and following. Listen to these words. Paul writing to the church at Corinth. This is why we never give up. This, though our bodies are dying, our spirits are being renewed every day, for our present troubles are quite small and won't last very long, but they they will produce for us an immeasurable great glory that will last forever. So we don't look at the troubles and we can see right now. Rather, we look forward to what we have not seen. For the troubles we see will soon be over. But joy, the joys to come will last forever. The joys will come, will last forever. God is more interested, dear friends, in who we are than what we do. He's more interested in who we are as the people of God than what we do each and every day. And God often allows trials and troubles and tribulations and problems and to persist in our life to teach us diligence and determination and character. Every time we go back and look at Scripture, Job 23:10 says, "For when I'm tried and purified, I shall turn forth as gold." You see, you put the metal in that hot oil, in that hot steamy oil, and it creates that fusion, and it makes that beautiful gold. For when I am tried and when I am purified, I shall turn forth as gold. The problems you're going through right now, they are simply nothing more than a test. It's the test of your faith. Galatians chapter 6, shameless plug here. In 2 weeks, I'm going to start a new series in Galatians, a 6-part series in Galatians coming on Mother's Day. Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. "Let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we will reap if we will not grow weary." We will reap if we will not grow weary. Sometimes we just need to be fishers of men. Amen. Sometimes we just need to surrender our lives to be fishers of men. I was thinking, how could I illustrate this from a personal perspective? Several years ago, I was leading our ministry board of directors in our meeting over in Alabama. And our board members were there. We had dinner and we were sitting there in our board meeting. It was around 2008 during our annual. We met several times a year, but this was our annual meeting. And it was to adopt the budget of what's going forward for the next year, 2008. Now, I don't know if y'all remember back in 2008. That was some pretty tough times economically in this world. The recession was hitting hard. It was really struggling. Businesses were struggling. It was a tough time. One of our board members, incredibly successful businessman, was on our board. He said these words in our board meeting. He said, "We should," and I quote, "tighten our belt completely, and let's reduce our mission giving to make sure that we have funds available on the other side." End of quote. He said that. I wrote it down in my notes. I'll never forget that. And I love this man. I loved him deeply. And he said, we should reduce our mission giving so that we can have funds over on the other side. This is 2008. I sat there respecting him, respecting his leadership. And I said, "Dear friend, here's what I believe. And we're going to do what y'all say do. Y'all going to vote. I'm just an employee of the ministry. I know my place, but you've asked. And now here's what I say we do. I believe that we just continue to trust God, that with the little things that we have and believe big and bigger things to come, we do the right thing, I believe our ministry will be rewarded." That was 2008. Over the next 3 years, we doubled our receipts to our ministry and gave more to missions than we ever given before in its life. We planted 5 new churches in Central America. It wasn't because I'm a super spiritual person. I just believe that we got to trust God with the little things and watch Him do the great things. Oh, my dear friends, we need to trust God for the decisions that need to be made and watch God do the miraculous. Oh, my dear friends, God says, "I will use the toughest of times to test your persistence, and I will reward your faithfulness." Oh, Roswell Street, you've been faithful. You have been faithful. And I challenge you today to continue to surrender to the Lordship of Christ and say, "I want to be faithful with the little things, and I want to see God do the great things." God uses the little things in our lives to test our integrity. He uses our talents to test our unselfishness. He uses tough times to teach us persistence. And fourthly, God uses shortages to test my generosity. Faithful people inevitably, every time that I've seen faithful people are generous when they don't have it to give. They are generous when they don't have it to give. By the way, gathering here close, don't miss this. Anybody can give when you got a surplus, right? It's easy to write the check if you got plenty of money in your bank account, right? You can be generous with my time if I've got plenty of time. It's generous. I can be generous with my energy when I've got plenty of energy to spend. I can be generous with health when I've got healthy lifestyle going on. It's when we aren't doing this well, when we are struggling, when they are being tested. Generous people are tested by God when we are short in some areas. A great example in the scripture is a scripture of the church at Macedonia. Macedonia was in the area of Greece. Alexander the Great was from Macedonia. His father was Philip of Macedonia. The church was in this place called Macedonia in Greece. There's another church in Greece that's very, very well-known church in Greece. It's called the church at Corinth, or the Corinthian church. It's in Greece. Paul used to write letters to the church at Corinth, and while he was writing letters, he was bragging on the church at Macedonia for their generosity in the middle of their shortage. Now, gathered in close, don't miss this. Go back and look it up for yourselves. He was saying to those people over there in Macedonia that they're going through an enormous, tough time in life. But out of their shortage, out of their lack of resources, they gave, and they were extremely poverty. It set in. They were extremely poor people. And he says, out of that has flowed an extremely large amount of generosity. What's he talking about here? He's talking about those people over there were hurting like crazy. They had huge offerings to help the church down in Jerusalem that is starving right now. Out of their poverty came generosity. Dear friends, let me tell you something. Sometimes God tests that in our lives, does he not? He tests our lives how generous we are going to be. Luke chapter 16, verse 9 and following, notice these words, Jesus talking. I tell you, use your worldly resources to benefit others and make friends for eternity. In this way, your generosity stores up a reward for you in heaven. But if you are unfaithful with your worldly wealth, who will trust you with the true riches of heaven? You cannot serve both God and money. Oh, my dear friends, money management is not just a good idea. It's staying out of debt is a good idea. Investing wisely is not just a good idea. Giving literally is not just a good idea. Sharing generously is not just a good idea. This is a spiritual test. When we give liberally, God says, God blesses a cheerful giver. You've heard me say it from this platform. He wants us to give till we start crying out laughing. Amen. He wants to bless us laughingly. Amen. He wants us to be cheerful in our giving. The first principle of the recession is God gives to us generous people, obeying God's wisdom, vision, and to bring God's provision. When I do that, do all that God tells me to do, he does all I cannot do. When I do that all that God tells me to do, he does all that I cannot do. When I have a need, I need to sow a seed and increase my giving. There is always delays between sowing and reaping. I really struggled with sharing this with you today. I really did, because I don't want you to think for one iota that I'm some kind of superstar, because I am not. I'm not. I am so not even close to that. But over the last several years, the Lord has blessed us, and we want to be a blessing. We've increased our tithe well past the 10%. We're pushing our tithe well into the 20 to 25%. We give to our home church, our church that we're members, a portion of our tithe, the tithe that has not comes from Roswell Street, and then we tithe back here. You say, well, Dan, you're bragging. No. I want to tell you right now, my spiritual bride pointed us in this direction. I listened to somebody that was walking with Jesus. Say, we need to increase our giving. We need to bless others and watch God do the miraculous. I want to tell you right now, guys, I am such a slug in some areas of my life. Don't say amen to that. That would hurt my feelings. Because you've seen that. But I'm telling you right now, we need to trust God with every aspect of our life. And if we're going to trust God, the greatest way to see God do the work is that we trust God with our generosity. God blesses faithful givers. Blesses faithful givers. Number five, God blesses faithful people that bring people to Him. God blesses faithful people that bring people to Him. God's watching, guys. God watching. Faithful people share their faith. Faithful people bring others to faith in Him. A good example of this, and I'm going to write a sermon on this, I promise you, it's coming one day, if the Lord let me do it, is those four mat toters from God. You know the story? The four mat toters. Now, y'all wouldn't say tote in Georgia, but we say tote. That means carry, though those of you don't understand what that means. These four guys had so much faith. They had a man who was quadriplegic. He could not get to where Jesus was. And they said, we're going to get him there. And all of a sudden, what do? They pick up the pallet where he was, and they get to the entrance of where Jesus was, and they couldn't get in. So they said, I think we'll do this. We'll go up on top of the building. We'll rip the roof off. And they dropped him down in front of Jesus. Listen to me very closely. Friends, you have people that are paralyzed spiritually. We have people that are paralyzed with guilt. There are people that are paralyzed with doubt. There are people who are paralyzed with fear. There are people paralyzed with worry. And God wants us to show our faith. And by the way, when we show our faith, that we bring them to faith in Christ, bring them to the point of making the decision to follow Jesus, God blesses those faithful mat toters. The man was healed because of his faith. No, he was healed because of the four mat toters' faith to bring him to Jesus. When God looks out and sees people bringing people to Jesus, He not only heals them of all the infirmities in their life, He blesses the person that brings them. Every time. Don't raise your hand. Off script, so hang on. Every time that you've led somebody to Jesus, think with me. Don't raise your hand. How many of you felt really good about that? How many of you felt so blessed? How many of you wept when that person came to faith in Christ, that you had an opportunity? Dear friends, if we are not presenting the message of hope, we are not living faithful. If we want to see this building fill again, we must be faithful in sharing the gospel. Oh, my dear friends, God blesses faithful people that bring other people to faith in Christ. We do not have the ability to save them. Matt McCaslin cannot save one person. I can't save one person. If we save anybody, they are eternally lost. We do not have the power to do that. But we have the calling on our lives, regardless of the position that we carry, we have the calling on our lives to bring those people to the opportunity to have faith in Jesus. They're faithful. That's why that man was healed, because of those four mat toters were faithful to bring him to Jesus. Six, God blesses faithful people that build the faith of others. God blesses faithful people that build the faith of others. When we see your faithfulness, He blesses you. Building faith of others is simply called mentoring or discipling. It's simply encouraging someone in their faith. Everybody needs an Apostle Paul in their life. Everyone needs a Timothy in their life. Everybody needs Apostle Paul. Apostle Paul is someone that's maybe been a little bit further along in their journey with Jesus. Everybody needs a Timothy. That's someone that maybe been a not as Christian for very, very long. We all need those people in our lives. We need hundreds of people that we interact with. But folks, we need people that we're doing life with. Come alongside them. Mentor them. Disciple them. 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 2 says, these things which you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust these to faithful men who will be able to teach others. Disciple, being a discipler, pouring life into another person in the life experiences. And Scripture, if you know how to walk them through that as well, driven by the power of the Holy Spirit. God blesses those who bring others to Him. God blesses others. God blesses faithful people that bring others to faith, others to faith in Christ. It's interesting to me when God shows the leader of a church. Back in the day, in the first century church, when He chose the leader of a church, He didn't pick the guy that I probably would have picked. But when He launched the church, He picked a guy that was kind of a ragtag guy. He picked a fisherman. He says, "Upon this rock, Peter, I'll build my church." He picked a guy that denied Him. Said, "Oh, I don't know who he is." That's who He picked. He picked Peter. He chose Peter to be the leader of the church. At Pentecost, over 3,000 people came to faith in Christ. God loves those that are not as lovable as we thought they ought to be. He didn't pick a rock star. He picked a guy that was constantly putting his foot in his mouth all the time. Who better can understand how somebody's life needs to be is the person that's going through a difficult time. If you've gone through a difficult time and you know somebody's going through a difficult time, you have a better opportunity to invest in them and help them in their new journey. Who better than somebody that's gone through bankruptcy, talk to somebody that's going through bankruptcy. Somebody that's has gone through cancer to talk about somebody that's going through cancer. Somebody who is struggling with drugs or addiction or alcohol than somebody that has already come out of that on the other side. Don't waste the pain or the hurts that you've gone through. Help others in this next generation and God will use them. Let me give you a verse of scripture. Luke chapter 22, verse 31 and 32. Peter, Satan has asked to sift you like wheat, but I have prayed for you that your faith will not completely fail. So after you have repented and turned to me, strengthen and build up your faith of your brothers. Oh, my dear friends, the six tests that I've just laid out for you, I believe as those are rivets, should rivet into our soul, God uses the little things to test our integrity. Uses our talents to test our unselfishness. Tough times to teach us persistence. Shortages in life to test my generosity. God blesses faithful people that bring people to faith in Him. And God blesses faithful people that build up other people. Oh, my dear friends, these two final statements and we're done. Everything in this world focuses us against keeping us from living out our faith. Do it your way, not God's way, is what the world says. Do it your way. Pull yourself up by your own bootstraps. Oh no, dear friends, we need to surrender to the Lordship of Christ and do it His way. And God will continue to test our faith so our faith will continue to grow. The final statement, I want to challenge you. Enjoy the journey. Enjoy the journey. Being faithful in a faithless world, we've got to do something that we don't want to do, and that's completely surrender our lives to Him. Maybe here in this room today, you've never truly trusted Christ as Savior. Maybe in this room today, you know Christ as Savior, but your faith has been in what you've accomplished in life. I was asked recently on a phone call from a pastor over in Texas. We had about a 30-minute conversation. We kind of iron sharpened iron together. He's a great brother, great dear friend. Pastors of an amazing church out in Weatherford, Texas. And he asked me about the people at Roswell Street. I said, man, they are some of the most faithful people I've ever been. But sometimes we all do, we kind of get our eyes fixed on the problem, not on the solution. Sometimes we look at the now and not see what's in front of us. My challenge to us all is that we just need to enjoy the journey and surrender to the Lordship of Jesus. High capacity people have a tendency to walk in their own power, not in the power of the Holy Spirit. My challenge to us all is that let's enjoy the journey in the faithfulness of our lives so that the faithlessness of people can see who Jesus really is. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for our time together. Father, thank you for this word today. I pray it encourages us all. I pray that we walk away from this place completely different today. I know there's some really godly, faithful people in this room that this probably didn't apply to them. But Lord, I pray that you will encourage us all. Father, we thank you so much for Arousal Street. We thank you for the testimony that it has. And Father, let us be faithful in the little things so you can make us ruler over much. Father, we want to surrender our Lord to the Lordship today, Lord. We want you to be in complete control. And Father, we ask you to bless our faithfulness that we can see the kingdom of God expand here and beyond. We give you all the praise and all the glory and all the honor in Jesus' name. And before we say amen and stand, our musicians are beginning to get in place to lead our invitation time right now. Maybe in this room right now you say, Dan, I know Christ, but I'm just tired. I'm tired. I'm kind of sick and tired of being sick and tired. I get it. I get there too. And that's where we just needed to lean into the Lord and say, Lord, just give me that extra bundle of energy that I need to do your will. Maybe you just need to come, and Matt and myself will be here at the front to minister to you. We'll be here to pray. We have encouragers that will pray with you. Maybe you just need to come and say, I just need somebody to pray over me today. Whatever it might be, I challenge you not to walk out of this place without making the decision to be faithful in a faithless world. Father God, do your work in this place. In Jesus' name we pray.